The Praying Mantis. No, the Mantis Q40. That's what I'm here to talk about. It is a 40-cell braille display with a QWERTY keyboard, which makes it kind of nice, but it also makes it kind of big compared to something like a Focus 40 or Brailliant. It's 11 inches long from left to right, about 7 inches from front to back, and a little less than an inch thick. And it's fairly lightweight, but it's big enough to be unwieldy if you try to hang it around your neck and use it on the go. It's great, though, for using it at home and anytime you're sitting in a stationary position where you can put it on a table. Let me just go over the keyboard a little bit. It is basically a standard QWERTY keyboard, except it does not have a home key or an end key or page up or page down or some of those other computer type keys. There may be combination keystrokes that can simulate some of those things, but if there are, I'm not aware of it. So the top row, being the one that typically has F1 through F12, on the Mantis has the escape at the left end, all those 12 keys, and then the delete key is on the right end. Row 2, coming closer to me, this is the numbers row, has backspace at the very right end and nothing extra on the left. The next row, where W and Q and all those keys would be, has tab at the left end and nothing on the right. Row 4 has the caps lock key on the left. It then has enter on the right. Row 5, left shift and right shift with all the letter keys in between them. Row 6 has the left control, then the function key, the Windows key, left alt, space bar, right alt, right control, and then the arrows, the cursor cross, which is typical, the left, right, up and down arrows. The Mantis has cursor routing buttons, and you can also use something called auto advance on the cursor. You can set the speed of it, and the braille will just continue to advance until you stop it. It is primarily a quiet device. It makes little beeps if you set them on for various things, such as when you power on and off and that kind of thing. You can also set it to vibrate. You can have beeps and vibration, or either vibration or beeps. I want to talk about the main menu now. To get to the main menu, first of all, you'd go to the front. It contains the typical previous, next, and left and right navigation keys, the left and right being what you would call panning buttons. And in the center of the front is a little round key, which is the home key. If you press that key from just about anywhere, it will take you to the main menu, which starts with the editor. If you browse through the menu, you will also find the terminal, library, braille editor, file manager, calculator, date and time, settings, online services, user guide, which is actually quite nice. You can find just about anything about how this device operates within this onboard user guide. On the left side of the device is a standard USB port into which you can plug a thumb drive or some other device. It also has a USB-C port, which is used for power and for communicating with a computer. And the start button is also on the left-hand side near the USB-C port. As I mentioned, the main menu has quite a few items in it, and you can hide some of those if you choose to. So if you know you're never going to use the Braille editor, you could go into settings and hide that so that it doesn't show up in the main menu. And you can always bring it back anytime you want to by going back into settings. It does permit reverse panning, but it's based on what you're using it with. JAWS offers reverse panning for Braille displays, so you can set it so that it is reversed when you're using it with JAWS. On the other hand, I have not found reverse panning in an iOS setting. It may be there, but if it is, I'm not aware of it yet. But I'm learning. I'm still learning lots of things. I want to mention also there is a context menu, which is quite good, and it really is context sensitive. Depends on what you're in, what you get when you go to this menu. And to get to that, you would press Control M. There are times when you would want to do Braille entry typing, not something I really want to do ever, but sometimes I would have to. If I'm reading a Braille book and I'm trying to search for something in it, I would have to type that search in Braille. And if I'm reading a BRF book in the library, it's automatically set to Braille typing at that point. And the Braille typing works with the home row, much like many other devices that have existed over the years. Not a fun thing to do, in my opinion. opinion, but it is possible to do it. You can also invoke the Braille typing option by pressing F12, and it's a toggle, so the next time you press it, it goes back to normal QWERTY operation. I'm going to talk about each of the modules now. The editor is an application that allows you to open, edit, and create text files on the Mantis. You can open a lot of different kinds of files, such as DOCS, DOC, TXT, BRF, BRL, PDF, and a bunch of other ones. But if you try to edit one of those and save it, you end up with a text file. This is really not a full-fledged word processor or note taker. To open the editor, you would press the next thumb key until you reach editor, or press E if you're on the main menu, then press enter and it will open. You can also use a cursor routing button to open it if you're sitting where it says editor. The Braille editor is an application similar to the editor, but explicitly designed to edit, open, and create Braille documents in BRF and BRL formats. The files are created, modified, and saved as BRF files. It is available. I've never used it. I tried it once just to see if I could. And again, you have to use that Braille entry mode if you're going to use the Braille editor. There is a read mode, which will allow you to read a document without accidentally modifying it. And you get into that mode with Control R. And again, that's a toggle. So if you press Control R again, you can get back into the normal mode. There is a system for entering and navigating bookmarks, which is really nice, especially if you're reading a 500-page book or something like that. The library is the application that you use to read books on the Mantis. It supports the following file formats: BRF, PDF, TXT, HTML, DOCS, and RTF. And it says in the manual that it's compatible with zip files. I don't know for sure what that means. I've never tried putting a zip file in there and seeing if it would open it, but maybe it will. And I'm sure some of you have had more experience than I have with the Mantis and can talk about things that I'm maybe not aware of. You can set navigation levels using the command Control T. That gets you into the navigation levels menu, and then I believe you arrow up and down through them till you find the one you want, and then hit enter. There is a Where Am I command that is Control W, so that if you're in the middle of something and forgot where you are, you can press that and it may tell you what you need to know. Now I'm coming to the terminal. You can have up to 5 Bluetooth devices and 1 USB device connected at the same time with the Mantis. And there is a keystroke that will allow you to move forward through those and select the one you want at the moment. And it works pretty well, although sometimes you have to press a key after you find the Bluetooth device that you want or the USB device. It isn't seamless, but it works pretty well. I use it all the time. In fact, in the mornings, I'll sit at my desk, and I use it as my Braille display on my desktop computer, but I will also connect my iPhone to it sometimes, and especially when I'm playing Wordle. I do not enter the letters of the words using the Mantis. I do that on the phone, but for entering my email address and my family's email addresses that I send my Wordle to every day, I do all that on the Mantis. What I've found that I need to remember to turn off Bluetooth on the Mantis after I'm done, because otherwise if I get a little far away from the Mantis and I'm trying to do something on my phone, it starts to lag and act funny, like it's not sure what it's connected to. You can use the Mantis as an external keyboard even if you don't have a screen reader running. But again, it's not exactly the same thing as a QWERTY keyboard because it's missing some of the keys. When connected to a Mac, the bottom left keys become Control, Function, Option, and Command, as they are on the typical Mac keyboard. So if I'm using it with my iPhone and I want to execute something, I hold down Control, Windows, as I think of it, which is also the Option key, Control, Windows, and hit the space bar. I want to talk about the online services that are available. You have Bookshare, Newsline, and NLS Bard, and they really work great. You can download books, you can find books on Bookshare and download them and read them on the Mantis. And on NLS Bard, you can find books, but only Braille books, since this is really not a talky device. It's for Braille and text. But those things do work well. NLS Bard works exceptionally well. In fact, it's very uncomplicated. You just go in there and find a book and download it, and then Bob's your uncle, as they say. There is a new module that has recently been added, which is for text-to-speech, and it basically reads whatever is showing up on the Braille display, and that would include menu items. If you're reading a document, you can set it to automatic read from where you are to the end of the document, and it works pretty well. It has one really big drawback, though, and that is that it only works with a paired Bluetooth device. So if you don't have Bluetooth headphones or a Bluetooth speaker that will work with it, and I tried it with my Uber Boom Bluetooth speaker and I could not get it to pair. But if you don't have something that it will pair with, you do not have access to the audio. It comes with a 1-year warranty. That's standard. And that's pretty much what I know about the Mantis. But my overall impression of it is it's quite a nice device. The Braille is excellent on it, and I have not had any problems other than a couple of times I lost the ability to connect to my USB device, being my computer, and had to reboot it a couple of times and even do a couple of other gyrations to get it to work again. But in general, I would give this device a high marks, maybe a B+. I think it's a really good device, and it's less expensive than some of the other Braille note takers and that sort of thing, because it isn't one of those. And that is about it. Thank you for listening, and I welcome any questions or comments or corrections you may have.
I can make an addition for you, Jerry. On the bottom row, there's the, from left to right, there's the control function, what will be Windows, and then Alt. So the function key and left arrow and right arrow are the home and the end. So home is function left arrow, and function right arrow is end. And then function up arrow and function down arrow is page up and page down.
Oh, excellent. I'd forgotten about that, so that's great. Good to know.
And what did F12 do?
It switches it from Braille entry to QWERTY.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
I'm wondering if the fact that it's a QWERTY keyboard, how is that an advantage of this device?
For me, I think writing a lot of material in Braille on a keyboard or on a Brailler is more labor intensive than typing it one character at a time on a QWERTY keyboard. And if I'm going to be doing a lot of writing, I would much rather have a QWERTY. And that's not because I'm not a good Brailler, because I am, but I just like it better.
Well, I like the typing better, but do you feel like when you take notes with it, you can keep up?
Absolutely.
I type faster on a QWERTY keyboard than I do on a Braille keyboard.
Yeah.
I have a thought on this too. My impression was that the Brailleand 20 came out a little later, and having that in my hand makes me want to own it, because that's really good for note taking. It's so cute and small, and it can do everything, but only if you're willing to do all the cording with it, right? Like if you do chord L or chord 4, 5, 6, you jump to the beginning or end of a document, you can just edit stuff. And, you know, my Bluetooth stuff works well with it. So then I want to own that. But I've had the Q40 for 2 years. It really was my keyboard for so many things, even on the computer, and then my Braille display. So I feel like it's like my device that I can have, and I can go up to a computer and have a Braille display, or I can hook up to my iPhone and have that with VoiceOver. Of course, then I had to learn the commands for that. It just was sort of this, you know, keyboard and Braille display in one. And then the Brailleand, I feel like we don't want to say have either or. I feel like people need to, it's like both. We want to have both. And I just wanted to say that, you know, using it with Bard is so awesome, because it's basically having a whole Braille library at your fingertips, and the 40-cell Braille display then is pretty good. The only thing that I don't like so much is the ergonomics of it. Like, it does, after a while, hurt a little bit to read.
That's not even what my concern is. I sit in a choir loft, and there are many days now when I have to type out words to things at the last minute. And space is a premium. I can't imagine just having a QWERTY keyboard sitting on my lap and being able to do that efficiently.
I don't know if anybody owns a really nice leather case with a strap that they can make sure that the Mantis doesn't fall. I agree with you 100% that the Mantis comes with this plastic, bright, crazy green, like very slippery plastic protective case underneath it, and it's really slippery. So sitting, you know, in church with it on my lap is not a good idea, or sitting in choir, as you're saying. So I agree with you there. Honestly, I think somebody needs to just like make a nice case for it, and then that'll make it a little better.
Oh, yeah. I have a turtleback case. It's made out of, I don't know, some kind of, I don't know if it's leather or faux leather.
I think it is leather.
But it's very nice, and it has little hooks on it that you can put a strap on, but I never use it. I mean, I use the case, but I don't use the strap.
Is it, like, specifically made for the mantis?
Is it just a good...
Yeah, no. Specific. It's made for the mantis.
Oh, okay, so that exists.
It's out
cool.
there.
Okay. Yeah, right. And turtleback is not cheap, but probably really, like, good, right?
It's very good.
So that's my question to you, Jerry. If you were in a choir, could you see yourself taking that as opposed to another input device that's Braille?
I'm not sure because I don't think I've ever used it on my lap to write with. I've used it with a table in front of me.
I use it all the time on my lap.
But you can use it as a standalone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it's got the editor. We didn't mention that you can put an SD card in it. So, you know, if you start running out of space, which is unlikely, you can use an SD card and keep as much edited things that you've written and all that as you want.
How much internal memory does it have for documents?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either, unfortunately. Okay.
If you type in, of course, you're typing in on a QWERTY keyboard. If you type like, I can do some work here and there. And of course, those are all grade two abbreviations that you can have. Does it come out on the display as grade two, as contracted Braille if you wanted to?
Yeah, if you have it set for grade two, it instantly translates what you're typing into grade two Braille.
Typing it as if you're typing on a regular, you know, typing keyboard.
And then the other question is, are you aware of the file size limitations on it for editing Braille files or any other files? I think there is one.
I don't know of any limitations on file size. I mean, I've put some big Braille books in it and things like that, Bookshare books.
Have you edited those and saved them?
No, not edited them.
When you edit something, it gets saved to text.
Okay.
You can read a Word file, a PDF file, but if you want to edit it, make changes, you'll have the same file, but you'll have to rename it, and what happens is it gets saved as a text file. So it becomes infinitely smaller anyway.
For those of us who like the old grade 2 Braille and not UEB, does it allow you to transfer it into the old code that we're all used to, Jerry?
I don't know, Margaret. Do you remember if you can do either UEB or regular old English?
I believe you can.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you can load, you know, other language Braille tables, then you should be able to load whatever American Braille tables there are.
Thank you, Jerry.